Continuing the study in the book of Acts, we continue in the 9th chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 11. We have gotten down to the 17th verse, but it kind of all builds into what's going on here. And so we'll begin reading with Acts chapter 9, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying a wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, and essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. We'll end with the 29th verse and begin in prayer. Father, thank you that we can read your precious word. Thank you for these words, and thank you for the witness and the testimony of Paul when he was the Saul of Tarsus and a great threat to the church, trying to put it to a stop, and the Lord told him clearly, you can't do that. It's impossible to do that. And so we find that Saul saved, name changed to Paul, and watched as he walked and proclaimed the word in great power, bringing people to the Lord Jesus. And so please today take your precious word, the words that you have given us today, and touch every heart that they will know you as their Lord and Savior and begin that wonderful walk together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In reading these things, we find that Ananias had received some directions directly from the Lord on what to do concerning this man named Saul. He was a little bit confused with what he had been asked to do, because he had heard great witness and testimony of this man Saul, and it was none of it was good. It was all against the church and putting people in prison and to death. And so he kind of questioned that, but the Lord had directed him to the exact place, the street and the house and who he was going to see. And so after the question was raised, the Lord again didn't just say, "Now go." He helped him to see what was going to happen here, because in verse 15 it said, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer in my name's sake." And so he told Ananias, he said, this man Saul, he's a chosen vessel. I have called him for a specific purpose. And so please that, since this great meeting that we have here with Saul of Tarsus, as he met the Lord Jesus kind of at the gates of the city of Damascus, and his heart was changed, his mind was changed, and now we no longer have this evil man. Saul, for the first time in his life, recognizes the Lord Jesus as his Savior, as his Lord, as his Master, as his friend, and not as an enemy. And that's what happens the day that you meet the Lord Jesus. And all these folks that stand against the gospel and they stand against the Lord Jesus, they just need to know Jesus. They need to come to know the Lord Jesus. And as we're studying in Sunday school in the book of Exodus, and we're watching how Pharaoh is buckling down and standing against, and he will not accept and call upon the Lord Jesus. Instead of that, we find his demise. We see his land destroyed, and we see him destroyed as well. And so that's what your option is. That's what comes. That's what you can hope for if you reject Jesus Christ, is nothing but total destruction. And so understand that. Total separation from God. And here Saul was in that condition, even though he was, as we've talked last week, was so religious. He knew that his life, being of the Sanhedrin and being a Pharisee, that he had fulfilled every letter of the law. He had no need of a Savior because his religion was saving him. Well, this experience that we have on the road to Damascus awakened Saul, had him to realize that he did not know the Lord Jesus. And so the first question out of Saul's mouth after he accepts the Lord Jesus, and that is, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" That's his first request. And so we're not told, but sometime along the way, Jesus told him of a man that was going to come, told him, the Lord told Ananias where he was going to go, who he was going to talk to, and what he was supposed to do. Well, we have the same thing with Saul. The Lord, in a vision after he was saved, the Lord told him that the place that he would be led to, there would be a man come in. His name was Ananias. He told him his name. And he said, "He's going to lay hands on you and you're going to receive your sight." We're not sure when he was told this, whether it was on the way, whether it was in the place as he was blind for the 3 days. We're not sure. We're not told. But we find that Ananias again had some reservations about doing this, but he did listen, and he continued, and he went to to speak unto Saul as he should and to touch him as he should. And as we find there in verse 15, the Lord tells Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. And that word chosen is he is an instrument. He is an agent of mine. He's one that's going to bring out and convey the message that I have. And so then, through this opportunity of serving the Lord, Ananias listened, and he responded. And so we find now that God does exactly what he says he's going to do. He told Ananias that he is my chosen. He's a chosen vessel. He's going to bear my name. He's going to bear my name to who? To the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. And so as we look now, we will find that in Romans 15, let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 15. Let's see if the word of God is true. Romans 15 and 16. Romans chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. It says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And so I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. What does it say back here when Ananias, the Lord speaks to Ananias, first to the Gentiles? Now let's take a look, because we're going to go to Acts chapter 26. Let's see if Paul spoke to kings. Acts chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Acts chapter 26, verse 27 and 28. Now that whole chapter 26, is when he's before King Agrippa. And I chose these verses so that you could see the mistake, the terrible mistake that King Agrippa made. But Paul was allowed to speak to him. Verse 27, Acts 26, 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What a sad day. Most sad day in anyone's life that would make such a statement, that you almost have persuadest me to be a Christian. I've rejected the gospel, is what he's saying. Now, there's others, and we just have a small reference here because we know that he also went to Rome and stood before Caesar. And so here in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 27, verse 24. Acts 27, 24. So just a page over from where we were. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And so on his way and in the middle of the storm, God has given him a promise that he will go before and meet with Caesar. And I just chose that verse of scripture. So we know that he has spoken to the Gentiles. So he was a minister, a messenger of the gospel to the Gentiles, also to kings. We listed up King Agrippa and Caesar as well. And then let's look to Acts chapter 9, the 20th verse, right where we're studying. Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And so we have all three here, the Gentiles, kings, and also to the Jews. And we know that always Paul had such a heart for his own. He preached the gospel to the Gentiles. But every time he would go to town, go to a certain town or community, what would he do? He would always go to the synagogue, and he would preach the gospel. Who was in the synagogue? The Jews. And so we know the Gentiles to kings and to the Jews. God's word's true. go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer in my name's sake. And now in verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, look at that. You know, he went from, I don't want to talk to this man. I don't want to stand before him. He kills people. He arrests people. I don't want to come before him. And just that fast, the Lord has convinced Ananias through the Spirit, through the visions, that he's a brother. And so he says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, I like that. He didn't just say, the Lord has said this. Often when a person prays and closes in prayer, you know, and, you know, in God's name we pray. And I always, always love to hear the name Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And so here, when Ananias went before Saul, went into the house, they found the street, he found the house, he went into the house, and he laid his hands on there, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest. So see, Ananias knew the vision that God had shown unto Saul, and that camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, again, it wasn't Brother Paul either, it was Brother Saul, because his name has not been changed to Paul yet. We see the vision that Saul had seen and heard, and it's come to pass now. And so, once again, that strengthens our faith. When we go through a trial and a tribulation and we watch the Lord bring us through it, we watch him take us down that dark valley sometimes and bring us back up, and we're, our eyes are bright and we see and look at what the growth already that Saul has received because of the vision that he saw, the bright light, the Shekinah glory cloud that blinded him, hearing the words of the Lord, he asked the Lord, what shall I do? And then he goes to this house, led to this house, and then the very exact same thing that God showed him in a vision that was going to happen, happened. Ananias showed up. Ananias laid hands on him, and he received his sight. And so everything that the Lord said is complete. The very moment that Ananias laid his hands on Saul, there fell from his eyes, as the Scripture says in verse 18, scales. And he received sight forthwith. And then he immediately wanted to testify of what had happened in his heart. And so what did he do? He was taken out and was baptized. He wanted to show what had taken place in his heart. And so we have that right here. And in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And so the baptism once again was in it, showing what had happened. And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And so as, you know, he hadn't eaten for 3 days. He hadn't had anything to drink for 3 days. And so when it says meat there, it means nourishment. He had something to drink. He had something to eat. And now he was strengthened, because if you don't eat or drink anything for 3 days, why, you become very weak. And so that's just a physically there he was strengthened. And then Saul certain days was with the disciples which were at Damascus. And so now we're in Damascus, and he is spending time with those disciples that are present there. And so we know that as we look straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. We have in verse 20, immediately he began. Understand, this man knows the Word of God. He was just missing one link. He had been trained by the best, but he was missing the most important thing, and that was Jesus. He missed Jesus. So to put Jesus into his life, now everything is just complete. Now I see. I can imagine Paul using those words and pouring through the scripture that he had memorized and learned, and he could see Jesus here and Jesus here, but he couldn't see it before. And that's the way a lost person is. You know, we expect a lost person to understand when we say, you know, Jesus saves. And I say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, they must come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. And then that truth will come and they can understand. And so, again, they spent certain days. He preached in Damascus here, we find. There was questions here because it says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for the for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Isn't this that man? I mean, they're hearing one thing, but he had caused so much havoc and so much destruction to the church. And he had arrested so many people that they kept wondering, is this a trick? Is he trying to get inside to find out who really is a Christian so he can take us away to prison? And we can't blame him for questioning that. All the havoc and all the trouble. But that didn't stop Saul, because Saul just kept preaching the word of God. Now, Saul increased them more and more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to read the first chapter of Galatians, because there's something that's not mentioned here in Acts concerning a period of time that Saul spent in another area being taught of the Lord, kind of like Moses as he was taken away. So let's go to Galatians. And it doesn't include all these verses, but it just builds up. I don't want to leave any out. So I just listen very carefully as we read this first chapter of the book of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son to me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judah which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. And the part that we want to really look at there, look at the life of this man Saul and how that he proclaimed the word of God. But we find here that and kind of hold your place at the 17th verse in Galatians chapter 1, and if you'll come back now to between Acts chapter 9, verse 21 and 22, I believe that that's probably the period that Saul spent in Arabia, because he preached in the synagogue Damascus, and then word come, all that heard were amazed, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem? And then we find in verse 22 the words say, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. I think probably that was after his 3 years being in Arabia. So I think between verse 21 and 22, we're not certain, but we know, according to this in the book of Galatians, that before he went to Jerusalem, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode there. And so, again, we need to take all of the Word of God and study it. And so we find that from verse 21, I believe, to verse 22, that there is that 3 years of time that he spent in Arabia. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And so he spent 3 years in the seminary learning God's word and God's will. Yes, he was saved, and yes, he had such an understanding of the Old Testament, but the Lord had to teach him grace. He had to get him away from the law and teach him grace. And I think he had 3 years of one subject, grace. I think he just continued to teach him and show him the way as he was in Arabia. Then he returns, and if you'll notice back here in the Galatian, you may have turned that he says he returned again to Damascus. And so he left Damascus. He didn't go from the Arabia to Jerusalem. He came back to Damascus. And then he spent time in Damascus. Then he went up to Jerusalem. And so we find in his return now, after 3 years on fire preaching the word of God, he increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And in verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled. And we don't know how long he was in Damascus the first time after he was saved. We believe it more than days. It could have been months. We don't know how long he was there. It could have been just a few days before he went. And we're not really told the period of time that he spent in Damascus when he came back. But then when he returned then, he had stirred folks up enough that the Jews sought to kill him. But their laying a wait in verse 24 was known of Saul. The Lord had shown that to him, either through someone or the Lord himself had shown him. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. It wasn't long in Saul's ministry that they were already out to seek him. And I'm sure that the Jews and the Sanhedrin was so mad at him because he was their best. He was the one that went after these Christians, and now they have deceived him, and he has turned onto that side. And now he's like one of them. And they thought, sure, probably at the first, that, well, this will be over shortly, or maybe he is deceiving them to get in the door. And then when they realized how real it was, they sought to kill him. And then the disciples, in verse 25, took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And so they let him down, and he was able to get away by the Lord's hand. And then we'll read verse 26, and then we'll end for the day. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, said to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So they still feared him. And then we'll talk about Barnabas next week. We're getting close to Barabbas. Yeah, we got 2 weeks to get to Barabbas, so I better hurry. And so it just we'll do that. It's great study. Good to be here in the house of the Lord today, and I hope you enjoy the word as I enjoy it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy your precious word, and we can just look at this powerful messenger of your precious word. But it wasn't him; it was you that was in him, that you gave him the strength and you gave him the power to take your precious word out, and it's power that's available to us. And so please let us claim your strength and your wisdom and your power, that we may take out the precious gospel. And please, Lord, don't let anyone sit here and be in this service and not come by faith to you and know you as their personal Savior. Don't be religious like Saul was. Saul got that opportunity, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ and was awakened. Please, that you be awakened and can enjoy each and every day serving and praising him. Just, Father, guide and lead each day, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.